With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Welcome to the Football Ramble Euro, sponsored by Bet365. My name is Marcus Beller. Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore is here.
All right.
And Pete Donaldson isn't.
He's had enough.
He stormed off in a tantrum.
Oh, England. Let's start with England.
Can I just say, we just watched the game together and in the final couple of minutes, and for 5 minutes after the game, Marcus, you were on the floor.
I was, yes.
You were absolutely devastated.
Sat on the pitch like you were Gary Cahill.
It's a different disappointed experience with England. We've had many where England have not been good enough, or there's a bit of back and forth and England have come off on the wrong side of that. This was a game England really dominated. Looked comfortable. Luke, you made a comment about 10 minutes ago saying that Russia, they're not going to get one here, surely. And you were right, they didn't look...
Sorry about that, I wasn't right.
Yeah, well... I think my actual words were,
they could be here for 2 weeks and not score.
Yeah. Well, it looked like that, didn't it? England's final pass let them down on many an occasion, but only just. It was very close, so encouraging signs perhaps there. Russia's final ball was dreadful.
Yeah.
And
non-existent, effectively.
Yeah, and then England managed to not win the game, and you think... It's so deflating. It's not like, say, Uruguay in 2014, which was gutting, but you thought it was a bit back and forth, and we've come off worse against a canny side who had one of the best forward players and one of the best centre backs in the world. We've been beaten. It sounds like we've been beaten. We've come away there against a much poorer side, not having won the game, and England then go into a derby match against Wales, and their tails are very much up.
Yeah.
And it's a shame because so much of that England performance was quite positive.
Yeah, well, that's what we have to remember, isn't it? That's what Roy Hodgson has to drill into the team, that that's what you take away from it. There's been a stat widely going around about England never having won the opening game at European Championship. So this is, you know, this is, we've had good Euros before, you know.
Yeah, I'm not too fussed about that, to be honest.
No, but it's, there are still positives to take.
Yeah.
We've had far worse opening performances where, you know, it's just been really nothingy and really boring and drab to watch. This was not that. It was a little frustrating that we didn't make the better of our chances. A few players kind of underperformed a little bit, but Wayne Rooney was fantastic.
Yep.
You know, Lallana played very well. The fullbacks were excellent. There were so many positives to take. Jack Wilshere did well when he came on. And so it is really frustrating, but it's not as bad as it feels like it is now.
Of course, yeah. That's it. It feels flipping like, awful. Yeah.
So it certainly does. But I mean, it's the first
actually
game,
like you've been mugged.
It does feel a bit like a mugging. And Russia will no doubt, of course, be absolutely delighted coming away from that with a point, because they'll feel like they've dodged a bullet there. They really will.
Well, they have
with a point in our wallet.
Yeah, and but it's the first game of the tournament. England, as you said, Lee Dixon said something fairly interesting afterwards. He said, "Look, if you concentrate too much and dwell too much on that disappointing end, the positives will get lost." And obviously, England don't want to do that. I think if you could level some sort of criticism at England and at Roy Hodgson, it was probably this, as you guys have just touched on, this final ball, this final execution at the end of a move. But that's not to be too unexpected in the first game.
It's not Hodgson's fault, though.
It is. Well, I was going to go on to say, it's Hodgson's fault they didn't react quickly enough in terms of making his changes.
Yeah.
And when he did make his changes, he made fairly negative ones.
Yeah.
So he made essentially a like for like with Wilshere and Rooney, given the position that Rooney was asked to perform. Mm-hmm. They would execute that position slightly differently depending on who the player is, but the position was the same. And then he brought on Milner when I thought he probably would have been better to bring on Vardy and help stretch the play more. Because Russia, while part of the reason I said that I didn't think Russia would get a goal was because I think they probably had this pegged as their hardest game. And if they come out of there 1-0, not been terrible in terms of confidence, and thought, right, we can go again, we can beat Slovakia, we could possibly even beat Wales here if we can keep Bale quiet and Ramsey, who's been in and out for a while now. So I didn't know whether they were really going to push and face getting ruined, basically. But of course, they were able to score. But it was a fairly freakish goal. But I thought if Hodgson could have brought Vardy on maybe a touch earlier and really stretched Russia, because Russia were pushing a little bit,
yes,
a little bit more than I thought they would. I thought they would push a touch, but I didn't think they'd throw the kitchen sink at it. But they sort of started to do that, and I think Vardy could have really stretched them, and it could have been a different story. But it's easier for me to be saying this after the event and other stuff, and it is important to, as you guys have said sort of slightly, to focus on the positives a little bit as well, because England did play very well. Wayne Rooney was excellent in the middle of the park. He ran the show. He played every type of pass well, linked up the play well, and it was a good move to bring him off and save his legs a little bit, because Wilshere, I thought, executed his job properly as well. So, one of those things. There are positives and negatives in terms of the next game as well, which I'm sure we'll come on to. But overall, I don't think I'm as disappointed as you two guys are. Certainly not as disappointed as you are, Spelsy, because you've been on the floor.
I've taken it bad, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, you have.
I really have.
Yeah.
I think that's
why we love you.
It's just you wait 2 years. And that sort of stat, England have never won their first game. They get a goal ahead, and you think, get the second. We've got enough time with the ball at our feet to go and do that. And you think, okay, we're deep into injury time now. Let's just sit.
That's a really important point, Mark. I mean, I know you said it in a sort of jokey way, but England didn't need half time. They were playing well.
Yeah.
The tempo was good. It's a world away. If you say we've been waiting 2 years, if you cast your mind back 2 years, that performance was a world away from the tempo we were playing at in the World Cup. That was a nice tempo we played at. And okay, Russia aren't really going to go very deep in this tournament, none of us think. But we still played at a nice pace and knocked the ball around nicely. But what you've got to remember is these teams are at this tournament by very definition, because they're winning teams.
Yeah.
They've got a winning record against lesser quality teams in qualifying, but they're going to be confident because they win more games than they lose because they've qualified.
Yeah.
And so to that end, whoever there is, and we saw the same with Albania, who are unlucky not to get more earlier in the day.
And Romania
as well. If you don't score when you're dominating, if you don't score through a combination of not taking your chances or the goalkeeper having a great game or the move breaking down because you're not executing the right pass in the final third, you'll probably get punished because those teams think they can get goals. Mm-hmm. Any team you play against in this tournament. And England need to learn that lesson pretty quickly mm-hmm. because Wales have got some match winners as well. And that'll be that game could go either way. It really could.
Yeah.
And we said this, although I said that sort of, oh God, famous last words thing about Russia aren't going to score. I also said in the first half to you guys, but don't make this count. It could go against them.
Of course.
And the goalkeeper made a great save from Rooney. And of course, Lallana hit the post, but he was offside. I thought England, discipline wise, sort of in the final third, were a little bit off the pace as yep. well in terms of their offsides and they're watching what they were doing and playing the right type of pass. But I mean, I saw France were guilty of pretty much that in the first game as well because they were a bit nervous. And, yeah. and so these things do happen.
Raheem Sterling had an interesting game, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Raheem Sterling, yeah, wasn't great. He looked like a player with very low confidence. Yeah. At times when he ran forward with the ball, he just didn't make a decision.
Yeah,
he didn't do anything with it.
It wasn't bad decision-making. It was a lack of any decision-making. And that's, yeah. obviously that comes from a player that appears to be lacking in confidence.
Was it the great Abraham Lincoln who said, in any time of decision-making, the best thing you can do is the right decision. The second best thing you can do is make the worst decision. And the worst thing you can do is nothing.
Not make a decision, yeah. exactly. Sterling's got...
Learn from Abe.
Yeah. I think it was Lincoln, but forgive me if it wasn't.
I mean, he was rather more articulate than that. You know what I'm saying.
But I'm hurting.
On the Sterling thing, it's a complicated situation because he's given... I think he's probably seen Sterling and thought he's not at the absolute apex of his confidence at the moment. But if I give him the nod, mm-hmm. and it's interesting, if you cast your time back to Euro 96, those of you who are old enough to do it, which we certainly are, Alan Shearer was in a terrible run of form.
Yeah,
and Terry Venables said to him, whatever happens in the next 6 or 8 weeks or so, whatever, you're starting the first game against Switzerland. He knew that Shearer was down on confidence, and Shearer said it did me the world of good. So with Sterling's confidence, he's an attacking mm-hmm. player, he needs to be confident to be able to play well. Hodgson's probably said to him, right, you're in the team, and hoping that's going to give him a boost.
Yeah.
When it comes, when the first hour manifests itself and it doesn't give Sterling a boost and he's still playing like a drain, can Hodgson really pull him off? Because then he makes it worse.
Yeah, well, he did.
Yeah, but I'm, what I'm saying is that the right thing to do?
But the reason why he took him off wasn't because of that. It was because let's put on Milner to kind of be a bit more defensive.
I
thought Harry Kane was a little bit poor from his high standards.
Well, he had a few offsides that he should have done better on.
Yeah, but the first half England were good. And one thing that was very pleasing, and Hodgson did this in 2014 where he tried to build the side round essentially that Liverpool side under Rodgers who went close in the Premier League. This time round, he's obviously gone with a load of Spurs players. He's used the two fullbacks very well there because against Russia, it was there for the taking and they were obviously very close to taking 3 points. Get the fullbacks right up the pitch. Dyer can drop back, of course, and at times England were almost playing a 3-5-2, but Rooney was brilliant in the centre of the pitch. The passing that he has, I mean, it was great. We haven't seen an England player play in a game like that for a while. I know Carrick's had a few moments, but the way he sprayed the ball sometimes, if England can switch the ball quickly from one side of the pitch to that, it makes them so dangerous. You know, yeah. We used to see Beckham do that when he sometimes get the ball bang right over the other side. It's very effective. Rooney's performance was one of the big positives.
I agree, and I don't think he put a foot wrong, actually. I thought he played very well, and I always thought he was a good passer of the ball. I always thought he was more suited to that role than maybe a lot of people who are up in arms about it thought. I have to consider, I didn't think he'd play as well as that, but he did play well. Russia are about their first choice midfield pairing, of course. Yep. That probably helped them a little bit. Kane didn't play that well. I don't know why Kane's on corners, to be honest. I don't think it's an odd choice, that. I think he's fine at corners, but I don't think he's good enough to warrant him being there at the expense of him being outside the penalty area.
Yeah, I think
area.
He provides England's most obvious aerial threat. Unless I'm hugely missing something.
Well, I mean, Smalling's pretty decent in the air, Cahill's okay, but they don't have a lot of aerial threat, you're right. So to put at your number nine on corners, I
Kane's
find it
good
strange.
At snatching goals as well from half chances,
but,
which is...
Yeah, but the thing is as well, that discipline of attacking the ball and shooting at the target, rather than, say, attacking the ball and just trying to clear the ball up the pitch or just win a header for winning a header's sake, Kane is more used to that. He's more used to that. His corners weren't particularly good.
No, they're not good enough for him to warrant being doing that anyway. Anyway, if anything you've seen from England tonight has convinced you that they can go all the way, the odds on them winning the tournament with Bet365 are now 17-2. So £10 on that returns you £95, including your stake.
Yeah, right.
You'd have to be a brave man, though.
A very brave man.
Or indeed woman. Or lion, yeah.
Yeah, all of the above. Yeah. But England do get a point. Russia will absolutely love that.
And it is a point, by the way.
It's not a lot.
Because you've referenced it twice now, off air and on air, that it felt like a loss. Now, I understand why you're doing that.
Yeah.
But in the format we've got on this tournament, it's not the end of the world. Russia are possibly the poorest team in the group. I don't think Slovakia are that good, to be honest. I think Wales are average-ish, but they've got some good individuals, as we know. So England could still go on to do good things. And the best teams, of course, I'm not suggesting England are the best team here, but the better teams in the tournament will grow into the tournament. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's a lot of positives. England didn't sneak a goal and just nick a goal and then deservedly get pegged back. It wasn't really like that. And we should mention Eric Dyer's fantastic free kick as well, because we haven't touched on that yet, and that was a beauty.
Yeah, I mean, not wonderfully into the corner, if that makes sense. But it was great to see.
The shock of it all, wasn't it?
Well, according to Opta Jose, I think it was, when Gareth Bale scored his free kick earlier, he was the first Brit to score a free kick at the European Championships.
Amazing. Right.
And then we had two in one again.
There you go.
How's about that?
I've never seen Eric Dyer even... I mean, we were talking to Spurs fan Lord Ramble earlier, and he said he thinks he's seen Dyer take a free kick once or twice, but I've never seen him take one before. Yeah. So it was a surprise to me. I didn't even know why he was standing behind it. And then when he scored, I thought, that's why he's standing behind it.
Because we were saying, is it going to be Kane or Rooney? And then Kane did a quite sort of long dummy, as if it gave Akinfeev time to go...
Eric Dyer. Oh, God.
Yeah.
How dare he?
Eric Dyer. Nice one, England. Pull the other one. Oh, he has done.
Yeah. It was just nice to see England score a free kick at a major tournament. I think it's been a while. We don't score many.
It's a slight worry that we didn't score from open play, or is that being a bit nitpicky?
Well, because Rooney, that was a fantastic save back in Fayev, who's not the keeper he once was. He's very, very suspect under the high ball, I think. Doesn't look like a dominant keeper. Doesn't look like he's turned into the keeper that many thought he would be as a young player. And on another day, that Rooney chance, that would have got... I'd like to have seen Rooney put his laces through that, but I mean, it was a good save. We can't take anything away from the goalkeeper there. Rooney hit it hard and low, which he should do. So on another day, they could have had a couple more, England. And
we should have played it on that day.
Exactly.
But it's never on that day.
No.
We don't even know what that day is.
We'll reschedule it. We'll reschedule it for next time.
Mm. But I think that with England, like you say, you can't be too downbeat about this, because on another day, etc. and so on, and hopefully England, from an English point of view, they can carry that into the next couple of games. Because if they play like that and dominate games like that, surely by the law of averages.
I tell you, win that Wales game and the confidence will be sky high. It will be like the Scotland game in Euro 96. Yeah. It'll be like football's coming home.
Lose that game and you're in real trouble.
Indeed.
A lot of similarity as well, because we're playing them second as we did against Scotland.
Yeah, they've got a slightly ropey opening.
They've got some decent individual Scotland as well. Who's our Gascoigne going to be?
Yeah.
Or just on a positive one, just to wrestle this back, because I know we all feel a bit deflated after that last minute equaliser. England are actually above Russia on the alphabetical order. So, second at the moment.
Well, above everybody. Wales and Slovakia.
No, but I mean on points and then alphabetical order.
No, but I'm saying if it goes down to that.
Yeah.
Which it won't, because it can't.
Exactly.
But it'd be brilliant if it did.
Which is why I'm confused that you brought it up.
I'm trying here.
You're on the floor. Confidence-wise, I would say, Pete's not here, we don't know where he is.
Yeah.
But out of the three of us present, Marcus has been hit the hardest.
He has.
Marcus, he feels it in his heart.
But you're helping me. But Ian Wright said, didn't he, that let's not feel too downbeat, because it was just one of those ones, a lofted ball in the box, and it was a good header. I mean, he put it where...
Well, he put it the only place he could put it.
Exactly,
really,
yeah. But even then, it was frustrating. You think, God, Hart, okay, Smalling, now...
It always annoys me a little bit when teams do something so obvious like that. So they put the ball in, they change it around, they change the angle, and then if the defending team don't sort themselves out quickly enough, you get like a real mismatch, which is basically what happened, because the other defender, I forget who it was, might have been Smalling, couldn't get back quickly, so it was Rose against the forward.
Yeah.
And Berezovsky, it was Berezovsky, wasn't it? But Glashakov was given it, but I think it was already over the line.
Right.
So it's Berezovsky, I think. And it was just a complete mismatch on the header. Yeah.
And also Hart was in a really bad position for that situation.
Yeah, he had to come over to cover the near post. Yeah. And then he just left himself in no man's land, didn't it? Yeah.
Must be frustrating for Joe Hart, because he's had very little to do. And what he did do, obviously, was fine. And then he doesn't get the clean sheet.
No.
You know, but as you say, it's not a loss. It is a point.
What do you think about the Wales game then?
Well, let's move on to that.
When England played him, I mean.
Yeah, and also, I mean, will Hodgson pick the same team?
I think it'll be similar. I wonder what he'll do with the fullbacks. I mean, it worked very, very well. Klein and Bertrand can also be very good attacking. Will he kind of, if you like, rag the fullbacks like Pochettino has done all season, like just make them go full throttle and then rest them and then play the others?
I don't think he needs to rest them now, because they used to play. I mean, that Spurs team, they rotated it around a wee bit, but the Premier League, I would wager, is more intense than that game was in terms of pace and tempo.
Yeah, sure.
And they're not playing another game until Thursday.
Yeah, they've got a little bit of time there. Will he bring Wilshere or play Rooney? You would expect him to go with Rooney in that role, because it was a success. And it's nice that England have Well, it's strange to talk about Rooney like this. We haven't seen him play there for England before, but a ball-playing midfielder who could put his foot on the ball and pass it. Now, I know he wasn't tested, so against, you know, if England do get into the latter stages, then if they play a Spain or whatnot, then they may have to play Jordan Henderson with a bit more industry. But currently, it's encouraging from England that they do have a player in which some of the other players, when they've got the ball and they think, right, who do we give it to just calm it down or get a bit of control? Rooney was there, and Wilshere did the same when he came on. So there's two players there.
I like the way they play the same... Essentially, in that sort of formation, I guess they play the same position, the same role, but they execute it differently. So Rooney's good at getting his arm across, getting his body in the way, being strong, making the right passing decision, both short and long. His passing game's good, Rooney. As we said, he's much more suited in that role than perhaps some think. And then with Wilshere, his first touch takes him into space every time. Yeah. He glides past other players without even really putting his foot on the gas. And then he can pick up these little intricate passing, which he's learned at Arsenal. Remember he scored that amazing goal for Arsenal against Norwich, I think it was. Yeah. Loads of different passes.
Was that game?
So they play in a slightly different way. And I'm happy. I'd be perfectly happy. I mean, I know what's happened here against Russia, but I'd be perfectly happy for Rooney to do 70 minutes of that and Wilshere to come on and do 20. It seemed to work fairly well for me.
I think Sterling's the major question mark for me there. If I was in Hodgson's situation, which I appreciate I am not and will never be, I'd be putting Vardy in because I think...
Would he swap out Kane, do you think? I know that may not be a good move, especially for his confidence. I mean, you've got Sturridge there. I mean, this is the thing. England do have a couple of options. So shame, obviously, doesn't have Welbeck to come on.
I think it's interesting to see how Wales are set up because Wales set up with three at the back against Slovakia. And they play Chris Gunter on the right, at wing back.
Yeah.
Would you fancy Chris Gunter on the right against Vardy and Rose?
Well, I
wouldn't.
Well, this is it. Will Wales go to a back four or will they keep a back three? Because if England play the way they do with the fullbacks, which you would suggest that they might. Coleman will see that all day long and think, right, how are we gonna manage that? And with wing backs, you could tuck in, and then you've got five across the back. And Wales have got 3 points.
Yeah,
yeah.
They don't have to chase a win here, which is the way they like to play the game.
I don't think there's a chance they'll sit back against England. I don't think they can win them. I don't think they can.
No, but at times they will be pinned back. You would expect
if England's fullbacks play as high up the pitch as they did against Russia, then Gareth Bale's going to find himself with some space. That's a consideration.
Oh, I think Wales are good with their backs against the wall, and they can defend. Robustly, I don't mean that. What I mean is that the game will be such a big occasion. The atmosphere will be pumping. The atmosphere against Slovakia was pumping.
Yeah,
for the Welsh and the English, it'll be a hugely charged atmosphere. And I think Wales will do very well. And I would go as far as to say it was almost impossible for them to not really go for it against England. They won't have it in them to sit back.
Yeah, I mean,
those players play against Premier League English players all the time.
Yeah, well, Wales' win against Slovakia, I mean, you saw what it meant to them. And the scenes there were fantastic. The crowd were in great voice.
When Gareth Bale scored, it was like they'd won the thing.
Yeah. Well, I think Gary Lineker tweeted that when Slovakia equalised, the last player to score against Wales in an international tournament was Pelé in 1958, which is remarkable when you look at it like that. But they are creating their own little piece of history here, Wales.
Yeah. It seemed very cathartic to me when Bale scored that goal. Yeah. They celebrate as a huge unit on the side of the pitch. And then it almost seemed like once that big release of emotion had happened, they were like, right, let's get back on it again.
Yeah.
And they showed that because when they conceded the equaliser, they then found it within themselves to score the winner because the guy who scored the equaliser had only just come on the pitch, hadn't he?
Yeah, Robson Carney.
Duda, sorry.
I mean, Slovakia were on top for a little while after that as well, and Wales did really well to weather that and get back into the league.
I think Wales look better with Hal Robson-Kanu up front. I think he gives them a nice outlet, makes some runs and creates a bit of space.
A bit underrated, he forces a lot of space. Yeah,
for Bale and Ramsey. Yeah. I think that, you know, they could, if they started him against England, he's the type of striker that always gives the centre-back something to think about. And then if you have Bale and Ramsey in front of, behind him, but in front of the England back four, Eric Dyer may have an awful lot to do that day. And Eric Dyer's a very crucial player for England because he's really the only one, which again, that decision not to take drink water seems a strange one. Because if you have Wilshere, then you've got Rooney, you know, you've got two players that can do that position, and you start going around the pitch, you sort of think he's pretty much doubled up in all areas. But that Dyer position, especially Dyer, we know likes a yellow card.
Yeah,
he does, yeah.
But there
he
we are.
He got away with one as well, didn't he?
He did indeed.
I thought he would get books, but the referee seemed to forget about it.
But the encouragement Wales will take from that and the good feeling. You see, England are a little bit down in the doldrums. Wales are on cloud nine, and it was a good win for them. It really was because they dug in at times. They were a little bit creative at times. Their first game in a big tournament like this for goodness knows how long, and to come away with the win is fantastic for them. So that England-Wales game will be very, very interesting indeed.
Yeah.
But England desperately need the win now.
They do. I think there are weaknesses to Wales. I mean, Wales seem like a pretty good, solid unit. They've got some good individuals as well that can win them games, as we all know that. But there are weaknesses in there.
On paper, England should win.
Yeah, they can put that goal. They can put the goalkeeper under a lot of pressure as well. Yeah. I'm presuming Hennessy's not going to be back. I don't know if he is. He's got a back spasm, so I think he might be out. Mm. But then it's not till Thursday, so we don't know. But England should win. I mean, you say it in that quite forceful way, but they need to have this confidence.
The problem, every
problem they seem to have against Russia seems to be an extension of like a lack of confidence. Mm. The amount of times you see Sterling, particularly. Ball, big high ball comes down. Raheem Sterling on form when he played at that amazing season for Liverpool. That touch is automatic.
Yeah.
Went out. Harry Kane did the same thing. Touch off his leg. Went out. They need to be more confident, because when they get confident and when that breed that confidence within them, the decisions they make are a lot clearer, a lot more concise, and a lot more forceful.
Which is why if England had scored before half time, I think that would have made the confidence come. Well, actually, they had to wait for quite a long time, and it was a free kick.
Yeah.
If you know, there was a chance that Lallana had, and there was a few other efforts. But talking about the lack of confidence, whatever you think about Jamie Vardy, he plays like a man who just doesn't give a damn.
Absolutely. Yeah. Who enjoys inflicting suffering on others with his goals. He loves it. But yeah, I mean, that's... We were all saying, like, at 1-0, it's like, it doesn't feel safe. You need to go for that 2-0 just because of course you do. It's a smart way to do it. And when Milner came on, it did seem like, OK, we're assuming we're going to win this now, sort of being very, very conservative. And yeah, I know we've been over the goal already, and it was... You know, there's a lot of bad luck about it and X, Y, and Z, but... it does concern me that there was that kind of... It almost seems a little bit negligent, you know, kind of negligent attitude to seeing the game out, which you just can't have at a tournament.
You cannot, Jim. We're going to talk more about the Euros, of course, after this.
I'm so fancy, but you already know. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. I'm so fancy, but you already know.
Just sensational. Sensational.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble. Euro sponsored by Bet365. We're all a bit disappointed, of course, about England, but it could have been the same for France.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I was tempted to mention that, but I thought I'll wait till Marcus officially brings France into the mix-up, the host nation.
Well, I've done it.
Because they looked nervous in the opening stages against Romania.
Yeah.
And it took Dimitri Payet to really wrestle the game for them.
What a moment.
It's fantastic. But I do think Payet showed a few nerves at the start himself. It clearly meant a lot to him, as we saw when he went off towards the end. But His set pieces for the first sort of half hour or so were fairly poor. It took him a while to grow into the game. But he really benefited, I thought, from a lot of attention being on Pogba and one or two other players.
Yeah.
I don't know whether... Because Payet's really forced his way into this French side, hasn't he?
He's done fantastic work. Because remember when he went to West Ham, Deschamps was particularly disappointed in him.
That's true, yeah.
He all
but said he wouldn't pick him.
Yeah, well, he did, yeah, and he wasn't being picked. And then towards the end, it was kind of like, look, come on.
Yeah.
For crying out loud. Because him and Kante both started the game.
Yeah. Well, as far as I'm aware, Payet's reputation before what's happened last season and last night is that he was always seen as a really great gifted player who could do all these things, but he was fairly inconsistent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what he's done is he's now added that consistency to his game. He looks like a world beater. I mean, I know Romania aren't going to be the strongest team in this tournament, but at moments, there were moments where Payet, you thought you were watching a special player. Yeah. I mean, he's a player at the very peak of his powers.
He has that glide. He's got such a slick touch, and it's just beautiful to watch. It's one of those players you're going to remember years and years down the line as someone who was really, really special.
When he had that Zidane sort of drag back and no look pass through, I thought, there we go. That's what I'm here for. That's what I've been waiting for.
And Pogba had
England's going to do that.
Yeah, right. Pogba had a few nice touches as well, as you would expect, because he's one of the best players in the world. But I think for France, an almighty relief.
Yes.
Oh, for sure.
An almighty relief. But I mean, you would fancy them to win their next two games, or at least pick up 4 points.
Yeah.
But to win the first game as hosts, it is quite important. And to be dug out by Payet like that, it was probably...
Left the pitch in tears as well, which is wonderful.
I think, the occasion got to a little bit emotionally, and fair enough, enjoy it. But I think the French... I mean, Giroud scored, obviously. Griezmann would have been a little bit disappointed with his evening. I mean, he hit the post in the first half, but you would imagine he would bounce back.
But he only hit the post after completely miscuing the original chance,
which
bounced up for him. It would give him a nice header. It was like the gods were serendipitously saying, have another go, go on.
Yeah. Go,
your first game.
This is important to you. Have another go. Oh, you messed that one up as well.
Yeah. Shame for Romania. I mean, it would have been fantastic for them.
They were very stubborn, weren't they? They set up to get a point.
Yeah.
And they nearly did it.
Well, they should have gone one goal ahead.
Yes.
What a save from Lloris.
Fantastic. Yeah. I mean, it was a good save, but it was one of those ones where you feel churlish taking it away from Lloris, because it was a great save, but the forward gave him a chance to save it when he shouldn't have done.
He certainly did.
He put it in the only spot where Lloris could feasibly save it, really.
Mm. But the two unfancied teams in that group were a bit unlucky, and Albania were against Switzerland. Down to 10 men, their captain Sanna, who is a crucial player for them. I mean, how clumsy was that, Jim? I mean, forgive me, Jim, but you wouldn't have even done that.
I wouldn't.
Don't forgive him, Jim.
No.
Don't forgive him.
No, I'd have ended up stuck down a well in that situation somehow.
With your foot in a bucket.
Bin. Yeah. If people will leave buckets around wells.
Yeah, on football
it's
pitches.
Yeah.
What are the chances?
But yeah, no, it was such just bizarre to look at, because it took me a few times to work out what I thought about it. It's like, has he deliberately handballed that? Because that's such an unusual body shape. I don't know. Is he trying to get away with it because it's so weird looking? Like, it's just daft.
But
no. Switzerland were lucky to not... You know, to get out of that with all 3 points, because Albania had a chance late on. It was Gashi, wasn't it? It was a throw on goal. He just should have scored.
Summer with a great save, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. He should have scored. I mean, both keepers made great saves. But yes, Albania, they have that chance right at the end, especially down to 10 men. Get yourselves out of jail like the Russians did.
Well, it's a testament to Albania's performance when they had 10 men for the majority of the game that Summer sticks in the mind as playing so well. He made so many good saves.
Yeah.
He was fairly dominant. I think he's a good goalkeeper anyway. I remember, I forget who it was, but someone did say in the leading up to the tournament, I read saying that, you know, if Switzerland are going to do anything here, someone's going to need to be on top form, and he is capable of that, and he showed that.
I mean, you said before in the preview show how you don't think Switzerland are particularly great and are perhaps a little bit overrated, and I think on that display that's absolutely fair. I think Shaqiri had a good game. Xhaka looked solid. It was nice to get a proper look at him as well, but they were pretty unspectacular, didn't threaten too much, and it was quite a poor game, wasn't it? I mean, a lot of people are worried that the expansion of the teams will mean the quality of the games dips, and that one wasn't anything to write home about.
I think with Switzerland, just to expand on that, me thinking they're a bit overrated, I think they're a team that are sort of less than the sum of their parts. You find a lot of teams who are more than the sum of their parts. You could argue Albania probably are. They know how to work hard as a unit, and it was unfortunate the way they conceded so early on. 5 minutes in, Fabian Scher, who's a good centre back, perhaps not really again achieved the potential that people thought, but he's a good player, playing in the German league now. He came through at Basel, but the goalkeeper in the first 5 minutes really wanted to, as I think it might have been Danny Murphy who said, wanted to really stake his claim. And he just made a poor decision early on. In the first 5 minutes of a tournament that Albania are really excited to qualify, you could sort of excuse it.
Yeah.
But then when Sana made that decision to essentially get himself sent off
as the
captain in a Kevin Nolan display of negligence, it made it really hard for them. But they still gave a good account of themselves. But I think Switzerland, if you look at the players I've got going through that team, Xhaka's a good player. Lichtstein has achieved so much in the game. Barami's played in the Premier League and played at the highest level. Someone like Juru, he's also played in the Premier League. Shah's a good player. Shaqiri's a top draw. But they somehow don't seem to be quite that good.
I know what you mean.
And they made a lot of hard work over that 1-0 win.
Amazing foul on Barami, where the Albanian
player...
Pulled his shorts down.
Well, they're talking of fouls. I know we've moved on from Wales-Slovakia. That Martin Skrtel elbow.
Yes, he's lucky to get away with that.
Very lucky.
He was. I think although the commentators did the old, what do the fifth officials even do? Even though one gave a penalty in the France game less than 20
against the
before, like a day before, as someone said on Twitter, he should have probably pressed his little button for that one as well. He should have done. We got a good Facebook comment actually about Skrtel on that, saying, let me try and find it. Sean McKenna, he says, my highlight of the tournament so far, Martin Skrtel. So alien is the notion of a fair challenge to the Slovakia and Liverpool defender. The first time he cleanly won the ball against Wales, his hamstrings fundamentally rejected the idea and he immediately seized up with cramp.
Yeah,
towards the end.
What are they doing?
Yeah, but he really put his elbow across Johnny Williams, who I think is a good player. And he was lucky to get away with that, he was.
He certainly was. The games are coming thick and fast, of course, in the Euros, which we love. There's a few coming up, of course. Germany against Ukraine, Poland against the Northern Irish, and Spain, the holders, against Czech Republic, to name most of them. Which one takes your fancy, Jim? Or do they all take your fancy?
They all take my fancy because it's brilliant and it's football and there's loads of it and it's on all the time, which is great. I think Spain, from that one, I'm really interested to see how they get started in the tournament, how they get defending their title, which, because the World Cup was such a disaster, you sort of forget that.
Well, you forget it's their title because you think, well, they didn't win the World Cup, but obviously it's a different title.
Indeed.
But our bet of the show is from none of those games.
No, our bet of the show is from the Turkey-Croatia game, which, of course, is happening tomorrow, so the 12th of June at 3 p.m. We've gone for a draw and both teams to score, so essentially a score draw of any description. £50 on that at 7-2 returns £225 with Bet365, including your stake. So we'll be looking out for that. We're a bit unlucky on the France-Romania thing, I thought. They started a little bit cagely, should we say, and they could have done a lot better, but we're confident on this one. So £50 on that, 7-2 with Bet365. But please remember, you must be over the age of 18 to bet and gamble responsibly, and Marcus and Jim are going to tell you where you can go for more information on responsible gambling.
Gambleaware.co.uk. We didn't rehearse that one.
No, we didn't.
I sprung it on you there, didn't I? Just seeing if you've got your confidence back after that last minute equaliser.
Still new. No confidence. What about the Panini poll? We asked everybody to vote on which of us in the last show had the best potential five-a-side team from the Panini stickers openings that we did. We put it on Twitter, Luke. You have the results.
I don't actually have the results because you sprung that on me. So why don't you feel for a little bit and I'll find the results.
I shall do. My team, if I'm honest, wasn't that good. I voted for Luke's team.
Did you?
I did.
Oh, well, scandal.
Pete had the advantage of having, an entire nation to include in his team.
The Czech Republic. But on the other hand, they were also managed by Pete.
True. Absolutely.
That's a downside.
Well, Luke had Andres Iniesta, I think.
Yeah. I also had Mavroi, the Albanian midfield player, who actually featured earlier today.
Yeah.
Got booked. he might have been him who did the shorts. On Barami, possibly.
Not what you want. I've got Sebastian Larsson.
You have.
On my side.
Shall I give you the results of the poll? I've got it now.
Go on.
We put it out there for everyone to vote on, and we had 1,331 votes, which is quite good. In fourth place is Jim Campbell with 13% of the vote.
It's not
How do you feel? How do you feel?
The boys are always going to have to punch above their weight.
Yeah. You're like an international manager as far as you've had a team of individuals thrust upon you.
Yeah.
And given there's nothing, you can't make any signings. Exactly. You feel like Harry Redknapp. You can't do anything.
Can't do a swapsie, can I?
To be honest, I think the people have spoken well there because I had you down as fourth, Jim. Yeah. But remember, it's nothing to do with you. It's the luck of the stickers.
It is. Marcus, you were third with 16%.
I agree with that because you and Pete had the best sides. But this is where it gets interesting, Jim.
Yeah. I came in at second with 29%. But I think, look, just to bring this round to reality, people are voting on this because they think it's funny to vote for Pete. And we've had the last laugh here because Pete's not even here. So yeah.
So you get the trophy.
I win it.
Yeah. You get the chocolate coins.
Pete did come first by a landslide, 42%.
Yeah. But yeah. He's part internet, so probably, you know, he fixed it.
He probably did.
Do you know what your prize is? You get a tattoo on your leg.
Oh, great. Thanks
just
very much.
Because Pete's got too many of them.
Yeah. Pete has to get a tattoo of every single person living in the Czech Republic on this body at some person. But the thing is, imagine Pete managing the whole of... Basically, Pete is essentially the premier of the Czech Republic. So good luck with that, the Czechs. Good luck with that in your game against Spain.
Well, I tell you, there wouldn't be a republic very long because he'd be King Donaldson by the end of the week.
He would. He would.
Now, should we go to some highlights of the show? Might be difficult to get some highlights after that England one, but I'm sure our good listeners have sorted us out.
Well, Sean McKenna's already had his mention.
Yeah.
But to put this in perspective, I hit the button. I set this Facebook post up to publish exactly on the full-time whistle in the England-Russia game, thinking, oh, this is going to be great because England are going to close out a 1-0. Russia aren't going to score.
No.
And, of course, they did score. So half of these aren't usable because they've got loads of swear words in them. But I'll try and find some. So here we go. Mike Smith says, the one and only dead ball not taken by Harry Kane resulted in a goal. Were all the 150 previous efforts simply an elaborate ruse to confuse defenders of a Russian persuasion? Give all free kicks to Eric Dyer from here on in. And then Rob replied saying, I'd sooner have Diana Ross taking set pieces for England than Harry Kane.
Oh.
Yeah. She's not part of the 23, Rob.
And she did miss.
Joke's on you.
She did miss.
She
one.
Did, indeed.
Yeah, and the goal exploded. No one wants that.
What else have we got here? Gareth Stephen, Lee Dixon, who we all like as a pundit, I think. But this is a criticism, so he's going to have to take it on the chin. After the France game, Lee Dixon was given the superb analysis that it would be advantageous for England to win against Russia. Move over, Owen. There's a new pundit in town.
Yeah, we like Dixon, though.
Yeah.
What do you think of this? Dan Bartram, no Vardy. When all we were doing was counter-attacking, it was frustrating. Kane looked exhausted with 30 minutes to go. All game we were doing well, then decided to defend when Milner was a turning point to bring him on.
It's meant to be highlights of the show.
Well,
here.
I'm doing what I can here. England have ruined it. England have set fire to this section.
We knew England would ruin it. We knew somehow.
We should have prepared for it.
Yeah, you should have put some fake ones in. Yeah.
See, the ball hit the camera in the Switzerland-Albania game.
Nice.
That was good.
There you go. That's it, Jim.
It was very nice. I enjoyed that, I have to say. Here we go then. I've got one here. Patrick Nee. Clive Tilsley saying that England know they did enough to win this game after they literally hadn't done enough to win this game, Ruth. That's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are you going to say anything while I look for another one?
Pumper's haircut.
He said justice for the England 11 at one point, didn't he?
Let's just move on swiftly, ridiculous. Very swiftly from
this
that.
This is one for all you Spurs fans out there. Dominic Taylor, I felt England really missed Lloris, Dembele, Alderweireld, Alba Tonga, and Lamela.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. By the way, we've met Clive Tilsley a number of times. Lovely man.
Yeah.
Lovely man.
Here's a Facebook which I think might be from the legendary Ramble Baker, Steve Hobbs.
Ah, oh, Steve Hobbs,
and out for him for years.
Yeah,
he says my highlight was a football burst in our front room on its own. It was an 80s air ball from a fair, and 2 minutes later, Russia scored.
Ah, oh, Steve,
that's why he's the official Ramble Baker.
I tell you what. Speaking of Bacon, I had a pasty for the first time today in ages. Is that a sign that Steve Hobbs was going to get in touch
the
with
stars
us?
Stars are aligning.
My goodness, I wonder what he's doing. Because he created a number of different roles, didn't he? He had the Ramble role.
He did.
He created the Ramble. This is a number of years ago. So, Steve, let us know what role you've, or which roles you've been doing.
Opening a can of worms here. Mark Tucker, one thing that ITV coverage has over the BBC? That advert for the new Independence Day film, Goldblum, A-list.
Bill Pullman's in that.
Yeah.
Bill Pullman was co-commentating as well with Clive Tilsley. He looks a bit like Glenn Hoddle, doesn't he, Jim?
He does a bit, to be fair.
Come on.
A little bit.
I think Hoddle's put the beef on since... Every time you see him, he looks a little bit larger. And I know I'm shaking around myself saying that.
Certainly are.
Yeah.
Crumbling beneath you.
I think I'll finish off from Adam Leary saying, this isn't from the England game, but Dean Saunders referred to having a chat with Kevin Friend last night. # quality fourth official. He's a quality fourth, Kevin Friend.
If you're a professional referee, you don't want to be referred to as a fourth official, do you?
No, you don't.
There we are. Are we done? I think we are. I think we were done before the mics came on.
Sorry,
ladies and gentlemen. We're going
to
be.
I think we've done well given what England have just done to us. England have done their best to sabotage this show. 45
again.
Minutes. Yeah, again, exactly.
We didn't let them do it.
No,
we really need the Game of Thrones business like last time when Uruguay put us out. We're back on Monday. We're rambling again on Monday. So we look forward to that because there'll be other games to talk about.
England can't ruin anything between now and then, you would think.
Yeah.
So that'll be good.
Mm. They'll try their best not to. So there we are. Pete will be back as well. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. You're sponsored by Bet365. Of course, say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from me. We'll see you on Monday.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.